Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A very interesting Monday Night Raw, folks. Started out with a brand new song intro, brand new montage, and it kind of feels like a brand new WWE. I'm not going to lie to you. I was thinking to myself, the star power in WWE is pretty high, and for a while it was pretty low. But if you stop to consider for a minute, you've got yourself Randy Orton back. Roman Reigns is still the champion. Cody Rhodes is there and getting huge ovations. Jey Uso has broken out as a huge star. CM Punk is now back. We're staring down the barrel of possibly having The Rock at WrestleMania. Not sure about that. We're really looking at some big stars, really big stars. Sami Zayn, like I said, is hugely popular. AJ Styles will be coming back anytime now. The Judgment Day has gotten to be one of the top factions in the WWE. And really, it's starting to feel a little bit like the old days, and this crowd certainly showed that. We started out with Randy Orton getting a huge ovation. Randy Orton seeming to be a very different Randy Orton. Seemed very happy, very excited to be back. He was glad-handing the fans, even signed an autograph on the way to the ring. Randy Orton may be a new lease on life here, realizing this is probably his last big run. Really delivered what I thought was one of the best promos he's done. And he's done some good ones. But I was just waiting for him to say, you know, the bloodline did me wrong and blah, blah. And he did a little bit of that. But he also said, I know exactly why they did it. I'm not innocent in this. I know why they did it. Doesn't mean I'm going to sit by and allow them to get away with it, but I know exactly why they did it. I don't blame them necessarily for doing it, but I obviously want revenge. That's very smart, because if he came out there and literally became a hypocrite and said, oh, I was double-teamed, triple-teamed, and I didn't, blah, 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 that kind of takes away Drew McIntyre's shtick, because that's what he's doing. And it makes him a huge hypocrite. He didn't do it. He just said the entire bloodline is going to pay. Now, that line really made me go, for a few minutes. And we'll get into it a little bit later on, how that ended up. But at that moment, I said to myself, the entire bloodline back then, at least, included Jey Uso. So that's an interesting line. He was interrupted by Rhea Ripley, who made a half-hearted appeal for him to join the Bloodline, the Judgment Day, and say that the Bloodline was old news, broke up, and you know whatever, and the Judgment Day now rules. He said, which I thought was a great line, I haven't not been watching the product. I know exactly what the Judgment Day are doing here. I know exactly what you've been doing here. And here's a newsflash. It was always mommy this, mommy that, mommy did this, mommy did that. Well, here's a newsflash. Daddy's back. Now, folks, this is what we were talking about on this show for a very long time. And that is when you have a situation where every single male on the entire roster is so woke that they will be abused by a woman and do nothing about it, then your roster looks ridiculous. Rhea Ripley will pick you up and slam you. She'll hit you. She'll beat you up. She'll do this, that, and the other thing. You just got to take it. What did the crowd chant last night? They chanted RKO. Now, he didn't give her an RKO. But his body language, her body language, the way he conducted himself made it look like if you go a little farther, you might get one. And her body language clearly showed, I better not go much farther because I think he's the guy who will give me one. This is what they've been waiting for, folks. This is what we've been telling you on this show for I do not know how long. That's why the crowd erupted. Now, yes, he was attacked by Dominic and JD. Fought back a bit. Poor JD McDonagh is just a human crash test dummy, really, at this point for this team. And it leads to what they said is going to be the main event, which is Randy Orton versus Dominic Mysterio. I thought this was a great opening to Raw, Mike, and I thought Randy Orton brought back exactly what we said was missing from this company's roster, and that is an alpha male.
Absolutely. I mean, we thought we had it when Carlito came back, right? I mean,
yep.
They didn't put him with them. They didn't put him against the Judgment Day, but we thought we had it with Carlito because that's basically Carlito's shtick is I'm the alpha male, I'm this, that, the other. But not only did you catch what else they were chanting, when he said daddy's home, what did they chant?
Yeah.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
That's right. So, and that's, I mean, we'd like to have seen him give her an RKO, but rhetorically, he basically gave her an RKO, rhetorically.
Yeah, and the thing is, the threat was there. It's not like it wasn't palatable that you said this could get to the point where she's going to get an RKO. He never one time gave the impression, I won't do it. And he didn't back down to her and say, oh, well, you know, oh, no, a girl's yelling at me. What am I supposed to do? No, he got right in her face. This is exactly what the WWE is missing. Now, the WWE knows this because it was, I think, Friday or last Monday when they had Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest kind of jaw-jacking a little bit backstage, you clearly heard the announcers say, well, these are two alpha males. I don't know how they're going to coexist because these are two alpha males. Ah, okay. Well, I don't remember them using that phrase. We've been using that phrase for a while. I don't remember them using that phrase. But anyway, they clearly see that this is not working to have a whole bunch of weak-kneed, my friends don't like me anymore guys. Drew McIntyre has now, heel or face, proven that he is an alpha male. We're getting pretty close, I think, to Damian Priest doing it. Certainly, Randy Orton last night did it. And we're starting to get that feel back into the WWE, which I think is a good thing. I thought Orton's promo was one of the better ones I've heard him do, Todd.
Oh, you're right there. Like you said, this last night with Orton's promo and everything, wasn't boring, wasn't blah, blah, blah. It was just he just pointed out, like, about the bloodline, and next thing you know, Rhea Ripley comes out, she interrupts him, and like you said, it was not a bad promo. It was pretty quick for...
I thought he did a great job. I really did. And it made me feel... Now, we knew, Dominic's not beating Randy Orton on his first match back. We know that. But it still felt exciting for some reason. It still felt like, wow, this is... There was more star power just by adding Randy Orton and, yes, even CM Punk. I felt like there's just more star power here. It feels more like the old days when you had Triple H and Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and you're just like, wow. They're just one after the other. Megastars. And then for a while, it's like there aren't really any megastars. It's just one guy or two, maybe. Now we're starting to get back into this situation where there's a few. I think that's a positive thing. Anyway, we then have a tag team turmoil match to see who is going to get the next shot at the tag team titles. And they have teamed Akira Tozawa with Otis to represent the Alpha Academy, and their first opponents, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. This was a pretty good opening to this tag team turmoil match. I was hoping and praying that when they hooked Tozawa up with the Alpha Academy, it meant he was going to get some ring time. Because if you give Tozawa, win or lose, some ring time, he's going to gain a lot of fans. He's very, very good in the ring. Very, very good. And he proved it again last night. He was very good. Now, it's a losing effort as DIY eliminates Alpha Academy, but they just barely eliminated the Alpha Academy. Next up was Indus Shear. I have no idea where they came from. But to be eliminated by DIY, they can just forget it. They were just billed as two of the biggest, fiercest, meanest, most unbreakable guys in the WWE. And they were eliminated on a roll-up by two guys who, if they climbed on each other's shoulders, would not equal the height of one of them, nor the weight. So forget about in this year. They're done. Completely, 100% done. Then the Creed brothers come out. Now, the thing about the Creed brothers, there's two schools of thought here. One is they look so old school tag team because there's no real gimmick to it other than like the Steiner brothers. They're just two brothers. They look so old school that I don't know if their look and their whole thing is going to catch on with a WWE modern crowd, but it feels very old school to me, and I like them. They eliminated DIY. The New Day came out, and much to my surprise, they eliminated the New Day. I really thought the New Day was going to probably squeak this one by. And then the Creed brothers eliminate Imperium, and the Creed brothers are going to be the next contenders for the tag team titles. Now, this was one straight hour of no commercials, by the way, and it went by pretty quick, to be honest with you. I thought this tag team turmoil match was a lot of fun. I was hoping, kind of, that at least Otis and Tozawa would get to the second round, but at least they showed what they had, Mike, and I'm happy to see Tozawa get some ring time.
Right, and and before that match happened, was it before or after, at the end of the night, whatever, when they did when the Alpha Academy did their thing in the back, guess who shows up? Because I was ex-running buddy, R-Truth.
Oh, R-Truth too, yeah.
And, yeah, when those two guys are in a scene together, that's gold. It's gold. We got to get R-Truth back doing something. Now, I understand he's going to be turning heel at some point, but yeah, that's the Creed brothers have an old school feel about them. And what's her name? The girl that's with her, Ivy Nile. She has a China-ish. She has a China-ish feel about her.
Yes. Yeah, no question about it. I do like the Creed brothers. I think they're going to have to work a little harder on the mic to get over with this WWE crowd. They didn't have to do that with NXT. You know, everything that you do in the ring, that's what gets you over in NXT. They're going to have to push a little harder to get over with the crowd here, but I think they will. I think they eventually will. I had no problems with this. I kind of figured that one of two people were going to win it. Figured either the New Day, which would make some sense, because it would be fun to see the New Day versus Judgment Day, right? Day versus Day. Or the Creed brothers. And the Creed brothers won. So what do you think of the whole tag team turmoil match, Todd?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, this whole tag team turmoil match, this brings me back to the Attitude Era when they first started doing this tag team turmoil. Right there, that's old school booking of that. And it just reminds me of that. And like you said with the Creed brothers, they need to get over, the sort of order in ring skills, but they needed to get over on mic skills.
They definitely do need to do that. I will tell you, though, Mike, they're pretty impressive because there's plenty of things in the world of professional wrestling that you can fake. If you're not strong enough to pick up a guy, if he jumps and, you know, balances himself the right way, you can do it. There's a lot of little tricks. I'll tell you what's not a trick. When you are literally on your hands and knees and you stand up with a grown man on your shoulders, that is not a trick. And you're doing it on a very unstable mat that has springs a little bit in there, so it's not like it's even you're on a perfectly flat, hard surface. That's extremely impressive.
That is extremely. That reminds me of a lot of things that Cesaro used to do, or Claudio Castagnoli used to do and still does, you know,
where
he would sit there and pick a guy up, just muscle him up, right? And you'll say, well, this guy, how is this guy not hurting himself doing that, you know? There are power guys that actually do that type of that still do that type of stuff that you say, well, how's he doing this? You know, how is this guy doing this without hurting himself? You know, I mean,
that takes
usually
a lot of strength to do that. A lot of strength to do that. So that's very impressive. I've seen him do that two or three times now, and every time I'm like, damn, man, there's nothing you can help with. All you can do is be as rigid as possible and don't wiggle or squirm so that you're, you know, steady object you're lifting. But aside from that, the rest of it's all power, all complete power. Now, yeah, we had that backstage segment where Jelly Roll was there. R-Truth thought Jelly Rolls were really Jelly Rolls and went to catering to see if they had any. Now, later on, I don't know if you guys caught this, but later on, R-Truth ended up in the Judgment Day's dressing room eating the Jelly Rolls. It was actually a pretty funny segment with Damian Priest trying not to laugh at R-Truth. He almost blew it a couple of times with R-Truth saying, since you guys need an extra member of War Games, I'll be the extra guy. That we didn't need an extra member. The other team needed an extra member. Oh, well, and it's over. By the way, oh, it is. How did we do? How did I do? You weren't in it, Truth, and we lost. Thanks for reminding us. But they threw in I think they threw in an intentional knock on the NWA because at one point Finn Balor says, and he got white powder, all this white powder all over our couch. I have to think they did that on purpose, Mike, to make fun of Billy Corgan.
Of course they did. This is that is the same type of stuff that all the time took place in, you know, both the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era. You know, that would take place almost on a weekly basis in those two eras. So. That's a good thing. When you're sitting there, you know what's going on in the business, right? You know the mistakes that have been made by the other companies. You know that, right? The WWE knows that. Triple H knows that. I mean, this was a really good bit of writing here.
I thought it was too, and I thought it was very well executed. By the way. For a couple of reasons. One, the person who was least mad at R-Truth and more just like, whatever, was Damian Priest. It's clear he is turning face. Very clear. Finn Balor was mad at R-Truth, but it was J.D. McDonagh who said, I'll take care of him. Interesting. So we may have something in the future there. I thought that was a very good segment. I thought they did a very good job, notwithstanding that Damian Priest almost didn't make it through without laughing. So let's see. We then have Ivar. Well, actually, it's Cody Rhodes comes out first and declares that Cody Rhodes, by the way, came out to a tremendous ovation. He's very popular. And Shinsuke Nakamura then addresses him on the screen, says he's the one he's been looking for. I guess that's where this angle is going. When Cody Rhodes turns around, Nakamura's in the ring, spits his red mist into his face. And then, see, this is, again, let me give some credit to the WWE. It would have been very easy to say Nakamura spits the red mist in his face and then beats the hell out of him, gives him the Kinshasa, leaves him laying there looking like it's all bloody and everything when really it's the red mist. He didn't touch him after that. He just spit the red mist, did the bow like, I could get you anytime I want. I don't need to weaken you. I don't need to attack you. All I need to do is send you a message. I thought that was a million times more effective, physically attack the mic, because it was more of a mental thing, saying, I can get you anytime I want.
Absolutely. And I've been waiting. I mean, we've seen Oscar use it, right? The different,
yep.
Even the different color mists that Oscar has used. I've been waiting for Nakamura to do something like this, you know? Because, you know, it's basically, I don't know, a middle Far East thing or what, this whole mess,
yep.
This whole sort of mess thing is sort of, you know, Great Kabuki, all these, what's his name that used to be in the WCW that's just retiring this year or whatever. And
yeah, they all did it, yeah.
Eastern, yeah, a lot of these, the Eastern, the Far Eastern guys, or Far Eastern type guys have used this, and I haven't followed what's his name him for a long time, but I don't know if he used it when he was in Japan, but it's fun to see them actually take something from another wrestler and give it to let Nakamura use it, you know. It's fun.
Yeah, I think the thing is, normally, again, I would say, well, you know, Oscar already uses it, and what are they doing? But I liked it because it made the impression that I'm not out here to beat you up, really. If I wanted to, I could. I mean, you're helpless, right? But I'm not. I'm just out here playing a mind game telling you, you never know what I'm going to do. You never know where I'm going to be. This could have been way worse. That's the mind game part of it. I think Shinsuke Nakamura does that very well, and I think attacking him would have undermined it, Todd, so I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, like you said about Shinsuke Nakamura. And we've been saying this for a while now. This heel run is a way better heel run than the last time he had it. And, well, like you said, it's the mist, he did a pretty good using the mist the right way. Last time we see something like that where Asuka messed up the mist, wasn't really a mist thing.
What I want Shinsuke Nakamura to do from his old run, though, and I hope they'll do it, is when he's asked about things he doesn't want to answer, like cheating, like the mist or everything, I need him to go back to that I don't speak English thing, because that's so disingenuous, because you know he does, that it's annoying, and that's a really good spot for a heel. So I hope he does go back to that. Anyway, Ivar and Bronson Reed. Now, here's the interesting thing. Valhalla, there's two things I want changed. One is, I want the intro changed. I don't like the way she says Valhalla is here. It sounds like, it doesn't sound threatening. She needs to go back into the recording studio and say it with a little more whatever, because it's not working. Second thing is, leave the antlers off. She looks a lot better this way. She actually looks even more menacing this way. The antlers was a little much, and I think that it was overkill. And maybe the WWE realized it was overkill. Leave it this way. She ends up getting kicked out of the match anyway. This was a fun match. And the fans went nuts at the end when Ivar does that flip on the outside. And both of these guys way more agile than they should be for guys that size. And for a minute, it threw me back to the old WWE where I'm saying it's just two big guys really just slugging it out. And we don't get to see that much anymore. You know, the norm has become 210-pound guys, 220-pound guys. There's an awful lot of them, even under that. And once in a while, it's fun to see two guys who are just behemoths really go at it. Normally, I hate screwy endings, count outs, double DQs, crap like that. But in this case, I'll take it because I think this is going to lead to a rematch, and it might lead to something a little more lengthy, like a falls count anywhere match or something like that. And I'd be all in for that, Mike.
I would be all in for that too. But here's what I would change. Here, I like that backflip from Ivar, but here's what I would change. I would allow Ivar to do the bull hammer, but I'll call it the war hammer, you know, because he's big enough that would be an effective finisher for him, right? You know, if a guy that size hits you with an elbow like that, you're going down and you're going to stay down. I don't care if you're 340 pounds like this the other guy is. You're going to stay down. So, I mean, he's very agile for a guy his size, but, I mean, this was one of these matches that had that old-school feel to it. We all the time talk about these guys that had the old-school feel to it. Both of these two guys have that feel, have that old-school feel.
No doubt about it. And the pull apart at the end where Bronson Reed was trying to get to Ivar, Ivar's trying to get to Bronson Reed. It's so interesting that it takes one of the Viking Raiders to get injured to show the talent that both of them have, by the way. It's not like it's just Ivar who has it. Both of those guys are immensely talented. And my hope is when the other one is actually well enough to compete, that they still do solo stuff. They can team still, but they still do some solo matches as well because they both got that. Both of them are very, very good at what they do, and they both were very, very wasted thus far in WWE. I think Valhalla is getting very close, to possibly getting in the ring. That's why they're dropping the antlers and things like that. They're giving her a little more to do each week. I think she's getting very close to actually having some competitive matches. She's had like one that I remember. That's about it. Great match, in my opinion. A lot of fun, Todd, to see these guys go at it. I'll be looking forward to the rematch.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, last night, the match between Ivar and Bronson Reed. And Bronson Reed looks like he's wrestling not as a face, but like a neutral character, and like you said, you see Ivar wrestling more as of a heel than Bronson Reed was wrestling as.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, Mike, did you notice Ivar actually broke the LED screen at one point with that cross body?
Yes. So he really must have hit him with that. That must have been a really stiff shot that he gave him with that crossbody shot. You know, I mean, because usually if you knock somebody against that thing, you don't it doesn't break. It's not a heavy shot. That you
right.
know, of course, you got a 300-pound guy. Almost a 300-pound guy versus a, you know, 340-350-pound guy, and that one guy hits the 340-350-pound guy and knocks him against the thing. What do you expect's going to happen, right?
Well, that's true. You got a couple thousand pounds of pressure by the time you add the impact. So, yeah, the LED's not going to hold up to that. I just thought it was – it just added more realism to the match because you're like, holy shit, he broke the LED screen on the ring. Fans went off on this, right? They loved it. Again, this is what the WWE is missing sometimes, is a little bit of an old-school big guy versus big guy brawl. Fans still like that, folks. Not every match has to be Johnny Gargano versus, you know, Tommaso Ciampa. Sometimes it's just fun to watch this. And the fans ate it up. By the way, you know, I heard some people say the fans weren't very good last night. I thought the fans were fantastic last night. I really did. I thought they were fantastic. Anyway, we got a backstage segment with Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. And Nia Jax came in, and basically they argued for a bit, and Nia Jax challenged her to, or actually Zoe Stark challenged Nia Jax to a match. It's very clear that they want Zoe Stark to be a work in progress. Zoe Stark has lost back-to-back matches, and she's supposed to be this tough, big, insanely athletic, hard-to-beat worker. And she's got her ass kicked twice by two people who obviously are being promoted as being stronger than her. She is the go-between for the eventual Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax. They put her up against Rhea Ripley, and they showed what she could do against Rhea Ripley, but Rhea Ripley beat her. Put her up against Nia Jax so they could compare it to Rhea Ripley, and same thing happened. So unfortunately, Zoe Stark has gotten caught between what they want to be the feud between Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley, and that's not good news for Zoe Stark because they're going to always make these two the powerhouses, and Zoe's always going to get caught in that third or fourth place, maybe behind Raquel Rodriguez. I feel bad for Zoe Stark because Nia Jax is not a tenth of the wrestler Zoe Stark is. And Rhea Ripley is very, very good, but she's not as athletically gifted as Zoe Stark. And it's a shame that Zoe's time is not now. But with the current lineup in the WWE women's division, Mike, I don't see Zoe Stark rising above this level for a little while.
And in the end, and to the fact of the matter is you've got also on the other side, you've got Shotzi, who obviously they saw what she did in the War Games match, right? She's on the way up, Shotzi. So, and we thought that Zoe was going to be on the way up, but apparently maybe not. Maybe they should send her to SmackDown. I don't know.
Yeah, it may be the best thing for her because where she's at now, she's not going to get much farther up this roster. By the way, I should have mentioned that, did you hear Shane? Again, Mike, we talked about these little hidden things like he got white powder all over the couch. Did you notice the second little sort of hidden joke where Shayna Baszler said to Nia Jax, shut your hole? Remember when Nia Jax had that part where she claimed that she hurt her asshole by saying, ow, my hole, on the ring, and that was a meme for a while. Ow, my hole. Well, she alluded to that last night.
Hey, I mean, look, Shayna Baszler, if you allow her to do some stuff, can be very good, you know. I mean, this is a woman that, yeah, she's in her 40s and all that stuff, but she could possibly have a run in her, you know, that you could get her at least up to the lower main event status if you wanted to, if the WWE wanted to. I still like Shayna Baszler, you know.
You know what the shame is about Shayna Baszler? She's really good friends with Ronda Rousey, but Ronda took her character. When Ronda turned heel, Ronda was Shayna Baszler, what Shayna Baszler should have been. A legitimate badass UFC fighter who just wanted to break people's arms and didn't give a goddamn about anything else and thought she was head and shoulders above any wrestler. I got news for you. Ronda took that gimmick. That was Shayna Baszler's gimmick. Now they're desperately struggling to find something for Shayna Baszler. Do we want to make her kind of a tough girl but likable? Do we still want to make her a bully? How do we want to do this? And they're not really sure what exactly it is that they want to do with her, so she's kind of caught in between. But that was a funny segment, Todd. Did you notice the hole reference?
Oh, yeah. I noticed that, too. I watched it. Like, I'm, like, thinking to myself last night, like, they are definitely making fun of the NWA of this whole thing.
Well, with that, but I'm talking about the Nia Jax saying she hurt her hole a long time ago, and then they're making reference to it. Anyway, Seth Rollins comes out, and some of the crowd starts chanting CM Punk. Seth Rollins basically says, look, CM Punk's a hypocrite. I'm not going to spend one more minute talking about him. I'm going to talk about people who matter. And what matters is my belt and blah, blah, blah. And Drew McIntyre comes out. McIntyre cuts a very good promo saying, a lot of the things you said to me was right. And I remember when you smacked me in the face and I deserved it and it woke me up and all this stuff. But that the bottom line is this. I deserve another title shot. Because he was sort of ripped off, right? Now, I think what the interesting thing was is Seth Rollins says, you're right. You absolutely do deserve another title shot. Unfortunately, there are some people who are ahead of you in line. And as a matter of fact, I'm defending it next week on television here, and it's already been signed, so you can't be the next guy up. Now, McIntyre's reaction was even good when McIntyre reluctantly says, okay, well, I get it, I guess. You're the champ. You call the shots. Who is it, though? And Rollins realizes, when I say this, he's going to freaking go nuts, but what am I supposed to do? So he says, look, I'm just going to tell you flat out, Jey Uso. And sure enough, Drew McIntyre goes nuts. Headbutts Seth Rollins, I guess for real, because McIntyre was a little busted open there. And I guess the McIntyre heel turn is pretty much getting ready to explode. Because backstage a little while later, we run into Sami Zayn, who gives another great promo and says, you honestly think I don't know how you feel? You say you came so close to winning in front of your family and was ripped off. What happened to me? At WrestleMania, same thing. Every single thing you've went through, I've went through 10 times. And I haven't whined about it and complained about it. I picked myself up and I've done the best I can. And I'm trying to centrally focus myself on becoming a champion. And I suggest you do the same thing. Right now you're acting like a baby. This is why they didn't have Randy Orton do it, by the way. And he says, maybe you're right. Maybe I just need to focus and get myself back on track. So I'm going to go to Adam Pearce right now. And I'm going to have him book me a match to get me back on track. And by the way, that match is going to be with you. This is the best work Drew McIntyre has done since he's gotten into this back into the Federation. It might be the best work he's ever done for this Federation, Mike. And things are really starting to shape up here with storylines.
You know what? I'm starting to think, we've been talking about Drew and his contract, right?
Yep.
I'm starting to think that contract is done. You know, he's here, and he's here to stay, and he's here for, I don't know, let's say 4 or 5 years, all right? He's here for a long period of time, or else they wouldn't be allowing him to do this much if they didn't have that contract pretty well done. Right?
Yeah.
So, he may very well be headed toward possibly, I know they want to do something with Jey Uso, I get that, but he may be headed toward possibly holding that new championship.
The thing I love about this Drew McIntyre character is nothing he's saying is technically wrong. He's absolutely right. And when he told Seth Rollins, how does Jey Uso get a title shot? I beat Jey Uso. True. So you can almost understand, I always told you, the best heel is someone who actually has a real motivation for being a heel. You just disagree with that motivation. Sami Zayn gave a clear rendition of why you should disagree with that motivation. He says, same thing happened to me. I'm not reacting like you. Same thing happened to me. Jey Uso turned his back on me, did all kinds of things to me. I'm not going crazy about it. I focus back on my career. You're better than this. That's the key to it. You're seeing the same thing happen to two guys, and their reactions are completely different because one of them, they want to keep a face, and the other one they want to hint at, he's close to being a heel, but he's not really. He's in a gray area. He didn't attack Sami Zayn. He did headbutt Seth Rollins out of frustration, but he didn't continue to attack him. There's a gray line with Drew McIntyre that's really, really good. Really good. And I hope they don't cross it. Don't cross it, WWE. Don't align them with the Judgment Day. Don't have them, you know, kiss up to the heels. Just have them this way. This is the exact way Drew McIntyre needs to be. Because he's much more interesting this way. There's going to be a certain percentage of people who say, he's kind of right. He did beat Jey Uso. How does Jey Uso jump the line to get a title shot when Drew McIntyre's beaten him? He's right when he says, Seth Rollins told him, you know, it's yours to win or lose, but he didn't lose it on his own. He lost due to interference. A lot of the things he's saying is correct, and his frustration at the way his career is going and having it lead to him do things that's a little bit out of character, and having him, when he's calm, be the old Drew McIntyre, and when he's aggravated, be a much more aggressive Drew McIntyre, is really, really good. The exchange between Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn was gold, and this is Sami Zayn's real worth to this company. You can say what you want about Sami Zayn in ring. He's fine. But his real worth to this company is as this type of a guy who can express himself on the microphone in a way that seems very real. Everything Sami Zayn said was not only correct, but he didn't act like he was reading it off the back of a monitor somewhere. He acted like it was coming from his heart, and so did Drew McIntyre. You can have these exchanges with Sami Zayn because he's very, very good at it. And it just helped push Drew McIntyre's character that much farther, Tom. Go to Tom, see if he's there.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah, you know, you're absolutely correct. He's right in the center of turning heel, and they did everything exactly correct. Exactly what you said. He didn't keep attacking Seth Rollins after he headbutted him, which was a pretty cool spot in my opinion, because he busted himself open, which was pretty cool. You never see blood on WWE, so that was pretty cool. And Sami Zayn coming up to him. Basically telling him how, you know, how it was. And instead of Drew walking away, you know, running away with his tail between his legs, he said, next week I'm gonna start climbing the ladder and get a match against you. And you should have seen the look on Sami Zayn's face. Perfect reaction. I'm hoping they don't jump the shark.
Well, knowing the WWE, they might jump the shark, but I'm hoping against hope, Mike, that they keep Drew McIntyre in this gray area.
Hopefully they do, and that's the thing. And when, if and when Sheamus gets back, they could figure Sheamus into this thing, because everybody knows that Sheamus and Drew are, you know, friends. But
right
now, Sheamus is squarely in the camp of, you know, the faces, and Drew is, well, that gray area heel. You know, so if we see at some point we see an argument between Sheamus and Drew, well, there you go, right? That helps out too, you know. Now, granted, everybody knows the tenuousness of the relationship between Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, but everybody also knows that right now, you know, before Sheamus went out, they were on pretty good, their relationship was on pretty good, right? So, you know, there's a bunch of branches on this Drew McIntyre tree.
No question about it. And if they came back as sort of gray area face heels and maybe even a tag team, I could see them being, you know, tag team champs easy for a long time, actually. But I think they got different plans for Drew McIntyre. Anyway, the women's belt is defended. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven against Natalya and Tegan Nox. Listen, I love Chelsea Green. And by the way, Piper Niven looked a lot better this week. But there is no tag team division. Just stop saying that there is. You've even stopped showing the vignettes with the I can't even think of their names anymore, the two girls that are supposed to be witches or whatever. You've stopped showing those vignettes. They're not coming, obviously. Two tag teams in this whole division that's real tag teams, the rest of them are just like, oh, you go and team with so-and-so tonight. There's no storylines involving the tag team. I'm tired of this woman saying, Chelsea Green! It's so annoying. I can't watch Chelsea Green's matches. And that's ridiculous. Somebody's got to put a bug in her ear. I'm not even going to talk much about this. You have no women's division tag team, WWE. You have none. So until you get some, forget it. Just forget it. Anyway, Dominic Mysterio, Randy Orton. Randy Orton looks fine. Now, I'm not a big fan of Jelly Roll pushing J.D. McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio. I'm just not a big fan of that. I've never been a big fan of it because I don't care how big the dude is. These guys are professional fighters. Jelly Roll's not going to go to a UFC thing and push Conor McGregor, right? I don't like it. I've never liked it, and I never will like it. But this was a very good match, and what it did do is prove that Randy Orton really hasn't lost much here. And the thing about Randy Orton is this, and it could be a strength or it could be his weakness, depending on how you look at it. When Randy Orton's, or he's psyched up or having a good time or whatever it happens to be, it's very evident. And it makes you have a good time. When he's not, that's also very evident, and it's usually not a good match. Randy Orton is not one of those guys who can just fake it. Last night he was definitely having fun. You could tell he was having fun. He was happy to be back in the ring. And it was contagious. The whole audience enjoyed it. I hope he can stay this way, because this was always Randy Orton's one Achilles heel, is that when he's not having fun or doing something he didn't necessarily want to do, man, you can tell. The upside of it, when he's having fun, you can also tell that, and it's very infectious. So, Mike, last night, it looked like he was having fun. It looks like he hasn't lost a step.
I mean, look, to your point, when they put him with Matt Riddle, I mean, he seemed to be having a blast with that, right? When he came back and he was in a War Games match, he was happy. He was up for it. He had a blast with it. So, obviously, one, he probably knows this is probably his final run, right? Whatever, however long his contract is, however long his deal is, he probably knows this is his final run, and he's gonna try and give us a happy, contented type of Randy Orton, right? And if they promised him, if they said, well, at some point you're going to hold a championship again, and we're going to try to get you to 17, right? Because 16 won't do, because that's Ric Flair, right? He has to be
right.
John Cena, whatever. 17. We're going to try and get you to that 17, right? Then
yeah.
That's going to make it, that too is going to make him happy. So, and
look, yeah, I think Randy Orton realizes this is it, so he might as well have fun. Todd, it definitely looked like he was having fun last night.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. That, like you said about Randy Orton, before he got injured, he was also having fun as well. Like you said, the stuff he was doing with Riddle as RK-Bro, and it looks like back then he was having fun.
No doubt about it. The last little bit of his run with the WWE, and now coming back, it looks like he's having the best time he's had in WWE, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? And you brought up a really good point. I saw that Randy Orton. That's the first thing I noticed, is that even when he came out and did his promo with Rhea, you could just see it in his eyes he was having fun. And then his match, and he was having fun, and we were well aware. And then, in turn, I was having a lot of fun too. It's great to see Randy Orton back. He looks fantastic.
He really does.
Again, I'm from the school of thought where it kind of takes away the return of you know who, kind of takes away from his, you know,
a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. People are delusional if they say CM Punk got a better reaction last night than Randy Orton. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He got a big pop. He didn't get a Randy Orton pop. He did absolutely did not. Now, CM Punk gets in the ring, and probably 30 seconds into his promo, I said, he's going to be a heel. And I'll tell you why. First, he started out saying, I'm a change guy. Well, that's bullshit, and we all know it. Then he says, everybody in the dressing room was happy to see me, and I'm saying, that's not true, and we know it. Then I began to realize he's saying all these things that aren't true. He's basically just doing the promo he did when he joined AEW, and he's doing it on purpose to try to look hypocritical, just like Seth Rollins said he was. Remember, Seth Rollins called him a hypocrite. Then here comes CM Punk back, basically being one. I'm so happy to be here, and this is my home, and all of you people are so important to me, and you never forgot about me. And everyone in the dressing room, except one person, has been really, really nice to me and come up and even kissed me, and they're so happy. And I said, this is so disingenuous that it's got to be on purpose. It's got to be on purpose. And my wife is doing well. She wants everybody to say hello to you, and she's great. Then comes the real zinger of this. Puts the microphone down, but the camera's close enough for you to hear him, and he says, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. That was purposely done. CM Punk is going to be a hypocritical, disingenuous heel, and he's going to do it this way. He's going to do it with the, I'm wonderful. Everybody loves me. I'm not doing anything wrong. Nobody's got a problem with me except crazy Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins thinks I'm a hypocrite. Seth Rollins thinks I'm here, you know, just trying to get over myself over and everything, and that's exactly what he's going to be. Last night, I have no doubt in my mind, after last night's Monday Night Raw, CM Punk is back as a heel. He's just going to take his time getting there. He's just going to take his time to rub it in your faces. He's going to very slowly start to show you he's a hypocrite. There's plenty of things he could have said if he wanted to pipe bomb. He could have came out and said, this isn't the same company. When I left this company and it was, you know, under really bad circumstances, it's not the same company. And I'm happy to be here now because it's not the same company, and I think that this company could go on to great things. He didn't do any of that. He said, I'm the greatest wrestler in the world. Everybody else is striving to be me. And then said, I'm only here to make money, not to make friends. Watch it come down very slowly. CM Punk is 100% being set up for Seth Rollins. And my initial reaction was, I guess they're going to flip Rollins as being jealous that somebody's stealing his thunder. Instead, I think they're going to have Seth Rollins be the guy that says, I told you so. I told you that CM Punk was poison. I told you he was just here for himself. And all of you people that cheered him got fooled. I think that's where they're heading with this, Mike.
I think so, too. And frankly, he even took a shot at Paul Heyman several times, in fact, when he mentioned the wise man. I don't need a wise man. I don't believe in wise men or whatever it was that he said. He took a shot at Paul Heyman. And everybody knows the history between himself and Paul Heyman. And, then, yeah, I know Paul Heyman's a heel, but again, you don't see a heel take a shot at another heel. But again,
well, plus he said, but he did say, well, Paul Heyman told me I had to leave this company and come back to get what I wanted from it. But you see, he was being like overly generous. Oh, it was so great to come back at War Games. Dusty invented this, and Dusty told me personally this, that, and the other thing. I'm telling you, he's going to be a disingenuous, hypocritical heel. That's what they've got in mind, I think, for CM Punk, Tom. And if they do, I think that's a very smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It has to stay a slow burn and let the story develop. Let him come out every week, if that's what you're going to do, and let it develop into something. And finally, let it get to maybe the Royal Rumble, where Seth Rollins can finally say he had enough. Don't do it next week, because then you just,
No.
It's just, then you just waste it. Let it.
No, it's got to be a while coming, Todd. But you notice even he said, oh, everybody here in Tennessee loves me, and I'm surprised because I'm a Chicago Blackhawks fan, and it got booed for a second, and he laughed at it. He's already antagonizing the crowd a little bit.
I was absolutely right there, like you said, with everything with CM Punk. And, you know, we're gonna probably see him being this disgruntled, hypocrite person in the ring as a heel, and maybe this will work.
I think that's what it's going to be, and I had called for that. Remember, I had said, if you're going to bring him back, he's got to be a heel who's going to be this disingenuous, I'm really here to just destroy the WWE type thing. I hope that's what they do. Anyway, there was a couple of bad things. The women's tag team division is irrelevant, and there isn't one. Let's be honest. And there was a couple of things, were so-so. But this was, all in all, it felt like a new beginning to the WWE. So for that reason, Mike, I'm giving this an A-. I thought this was a very good Monday Night Raw.
Okay, so the pay-per-view, we gave an A-, right? All of us, one of us. All right. Now, here we go again. This is the second show in a row. I'm going to give it an A-. If they keep being this consistent on a consistent enough basis, I mean, they're going to outpace everybody, and they're going to be back where they should be, getting damn near 3 million people, instead of the 2 million and 1.9 million they get, So... we got to see what happens with this. And I'll say this again. We talk about what needs to happen with people with machismo,
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. If we get three people out of this whole situation, Randy Orton, Carlito, and possibly Santos Escobar, that has that machismo factor with them,
mm-hmm.
that –
And probably Drew McIntyre.
A real men, right?
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it would help if they had more, but that's a good start.
It's not bad because you could probably add McIntyre to that list too. McIntyre is going to be that kind of a person. And the crowd felt like an old WWE crowd. They were popping for the things that were worth popping for. And they were telling the WWE clearly what they want more of. Tom, what's your rating this week?
You know, last night I did say that I wasn't a big fan of Monday Night Raw, but then I took the time and I rewatched the show, and this time objectively. And I'm going to say that I'm not a big fan of CM Punk being the main event after the actual main event match. I'm not a big fan of that. However, I will say, with the exception of the women's tag team division, because Isla Dawn and Alba Fire are, you know, were the tag team champions, and they keep doing promos, and then you're just not showing them. So you're wasting it. And everybody knows that Natalya and Tegan Nox weren't winning. So with the exception of that, I thought everything was cool. I was entertained the second time around. So I'm going to give it a B plus.
Okay. You know, the thing was, I was annoyed too with the CM Punk thing finishing, but now I know why, because they wanted to end with that line. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. So that would plant the seed in your mind. Something's not right with CM Punk. And it's better to end that way than it is with Randy Orton just RKOing Dominic Mysterio. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I'm going to give it an A- as well.
So, look, we're all in agreement. It was a pretty good Monday Night Raw, and usually these Monday Night Raws after pay-per-views usually aren't. They're usually average, but they're not great. This felt like a new beginning. I'm very, very interested in Friday night, seeing where that goes, and I'm looking forward to Monday night because I know that something more is going to be going on between Seth Rollins and CM Punk, and already there's a feeling. Now, I'm not going to tell you that CM Punk caused this feeling. That's ridiculous. You know my feelings about CM Punk. He comes out there. He looks like he's a 60-year-old dude who should be serving up coffee at Starbucks and being the oldest guy working there. He looks 10 years older than Triple H. And he doesn't look like he could beat up Marilyn Manson. But still an excitement to this crowd. And with Randy Orton coming back, with this feud with Nakamura and Cody Rhodes, with the whole thing going on with the Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre's performance, there's a lot going on here. And I really feel like it's starting to get that feel of the old WWE that I love so much. So I'm happy for it. I hope it continues. And we will see you here on Friday with the weekly wrap-up.
You're listening to Wrestling.